issue. If you know, if you study these contested races, and they're about a dozen, and you know, we knew this was going to be the case. That's why my opponent's first ad, you know, came up even during the primary and accused me of killing four Marines or was responsible for the death of four Marines. Now, that's pretty harsh, you know, when you consider that I'm a veteran and I've served in uniform for many years. You know, that's pretty harsh, but I tend to try to get beyond that and continue to focus on what I think are the real issues of the race.
Well, let's spend a couple of minutes talking about those issues. What issues do you feel are the ones that ought to drive this race?
Well, to me, one of the very important ones for the state of Connecticut, not just for my district, is whether or not we're going to keep the sub base open and keep Electric Boat viable. Because if we lose the sub base on Electric Boat, that's 25,000 jobs, but there goes the industrial base of a very significant piece of the industrial base of the state of Connecticut. And that's at risk this coming year. That's something we have to address now and in the coming year to prevent that from happening. That's hugely important to our economy.
And tell people why you would be a better person, for example, to address that question than Jim Sullivan.
Well, first of all, I've been through a BRAC before as a state representative. The BRACs in the 90s I experienced as a state rep. Secondly, I'm on the Armed Services Committee, number two guy on the Navy subcommittee, so I have access to the Secretary of the Navy, Chief of Naval Operations, and the very people who are considering putting the base on the list. Like just this week, I had a phone call to Undersecretary Wayne Arney, who it turns out was a staffer in the Senate years ago when I worked for Senator John Chafee, and I had a 20-minute conversation telling him why I felt that the BRAC process was not carefully identifying the value of this base to submarine production here in Connecticut. And you know, we just have to keep pounding away at these guys to make sure that they don't make a big, big mistake.
We got about another minute left. I mean, I want you to have an opportunity to bring up maybe another issue that you see as important.
Well, I'm on the transparency. You know, I got on the Armed Services Committee to bring defense dollars to Connecticut, whether it's EB or Sikorsky or Pratt Whitney, working with my colleagues. We've done well. We have currently brought in more federal dollars to Connecticut than the state budget, which is a first and is a big plus. Secondly, the transportation system, roads and rail, we know it's broken here. We know it has to be fixed. I'm the only member of the delegation on the Transportation Committee and the Rail Subcommittee, as well as the Highway Subcommittee. I think that's important.
Actually,
to the state of Connecticut.
As you probably know, the current, in not endorsing you, criticized you for saying that you were not in favor of the 2A improvements between the casinos.
Well, that endorsement was so filled with errors, we didn't even bother to respond to it. I mean, the only error that I liked was the fact that I'm 51 years old. I mean, you know, if they can't get my age right, they can't get anything right. And they were flat wrong on 2A. I agreed to put the 2A bridge on because the people supporting Utopia, which included the Carpenters Union and Chuck Appleby, came to my office and asked for the 2A bridge to be put in. We had 2 days to do it. We put the 2A bridge in. That's not a flip-flop. I do not support the 2A bypass, but I certainly support the 2A bridge. But I don't expect the Hartford Current to understand that subtlety in the issue, you know, because they don't take the time to find out what the heck is going on in my part of Connecticut. You know, they're obsessed with Hartford and the greater Hartford area. That's it. They've never cared. They don't even cover my hometown in that newspaper for the 10 years I was a state representative. They didn't even cover my district. So they don't care to find out what is going on in this part of the state.
Well, I got to agree.
We're not surprised by that.
Current endorsements are kind of a sore spot with me, too, so we can agree on that anyway. Well, at least we did cover a couple of different issues, and we
I
do.
I appreciate that. I, you know, I will continue to say you guys are doing a great job. I will continue to work with you every way I can to try to get the word out.
All right. Thank you, Congressman Simmons.
You bet.
C'est une vie de galérien, mais quand je sors avec Hildegard, c'est toujours moi qu'on garde. Suis snob.
Well, I don't know who sings the national anthem tonight, but
snob.
It will be hard to top Aerosmith's Steve Tyler singing
God
the first game.
Almighty.
And then singing Dude Look Like a Lady to Johnny Damon right after that. It's time for Sport Artois, the very French sports discussion segment with Mr. Ambrosio.
Here.
Monsieur Bruce Evans and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
I mean, come, Steven Tyler.
I was just trying to ask Mr. Ambrosio.
NBA, it's a wonderful thing. Yes, who are we hearing from today, C-Man?
This is Dean Sherwin.
Oh, I love Dean.
From Colebrook, Connecticut.
Oh, that Arnold. From where?
From Colebrook, Connecticut. Colebrook.
Oh, Colebrook, not Colchester.
No, Colebrook.
Or Westbrook.
Dear Mr. Ambrosio, there are more hours of daylight after noon than before it, particularly in the summer.
Right.
Does this mean noon is in the wrong place, that it's not really the middle of the day?
You know, it's amazing that Dean would pick up on that fact, because we at the Institute have done a six-year study on the placement of noon, and noon should actually be an hour and 13 minutes later. If noon was actually, as we like to say, Greenwich Mean Time, 13:13, then there would be the proper increments of morning and afternoon sunshine. But because noon was put at the 12 o'clock hour...
Do we know who did this?
Yeah, it was done by Copernicus a long time ago. Copernicus was the... you're right, Bruce, you look like you got a little indigestion there. Copernicus was
I wonder why.
Look, if you haven't gotten sick of these things yet, Copernicus was the scientist
who placed
noon at 12 o'clock. There's been attempts in some countries to try to get it to its proper 13:13 GMT, but unfortunately the United Nations has been dead set against it.
What can you say, Brad?
No, it's facts of life. We don't make things up here.
And in the hopeless, hungry side of town.
Now we're the black because I'm sick of this election.
Paid for his crime.
And we want all his teammates to go home and stop bothering us.
I wear the black for those who've never read.
We're both wearing black today.
Or listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really tired of this election. I'm tired of all of them. Tired, tired, tired. And so is the rest of America. And so, you know, the person who called up and said, you know, too bad the campaigns can't be shorter, he's absolutely right. I mean, not only in order to cut down the influence of the amount of money spent and stuff like that, although I think the campaigns would spend just as much money, which is over a shorter period of time, but just for our sanity, it would be great if it could be shorter. But I don't
think you mean cut it down to like 2 years instead of like four?
Yeah, I just feel like we've been living with these people forever. It's just unbearable. Please stop. Leave us alone. Let us get. I don't even remember what I used to be interested in. I used to be interested in something.
I wonder if it's just us though, because we do this all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if it's just, you know, this is just a way of life after a while.
I resent people who don't have to pay attention to this. Then I hate them too. I hate the candidates and I hate the voters.
Yeah. Okay.
See.
I think that covers it.
Yeah. And I you know what. I hate everybody. It really is true that I hate everybody. Well, I hate him, too.
Well, that's a given.
I mean, I hate everybody so much that I used to sort of use as my standard, my sort of just as a measurement of hatred.
Yeah.
But you know how there are, like, certain kinds of units of measurement that are named after people? I can't
right.
really think. Like, isn't a Curie a measure of radiation?
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
I believe it is.
It's, you know, so that would be an example of, like, a measurement that's named. And I actually thought that units of hatred should be named Helmeckis, you know.
Oh, I think that's an excellent choice.
Just because, I mean, I've spent so much of my life planning his death and stuff like that. You know, but they're, like, people who really bother me more than Helmecki right now.
That's saying a lot.
But, you know, tomorrow... Like, Mike DeRosa, who's going on a morning show tomorrow, creepy little chicken poop green candidate. But, I've heard him on WWUH when he's raising money. He talks about what a wasteland commercial talk radio is in Hartford and how, you know, so and implicitly how bad we suck. And then he wants to come on our show. So
yeah.
He's going to be, I hope Diane gives him a good country ass whooping tomorrow.
Must have lunch real soon. Your luggage is checked through. We've got inflation licked. I'll get right back to you. It's just a standard form. Tomorrow without fail. Pleased to meet you. Thanks a lot. Your check is in the mail. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Blizzard of lies. Your toes and knees aren't all you freeze when you're in it up to your thighs.
look like snow, but you never know when you're marooned in a blizzard of lies.
Joining us now is Ralph Kies. He's the author of a book called The Post-Truth Era, published by St. Martin's Press. And it's a very interesting but somewhat depressing book. Basically, it kind of takes the... It's a multidisciplinary book that...
Half hour?
Yeah. It's good hours to sort of enlarge people's horizons.
Right.
So according to a new study, mice who were given Prozac, basically from the time they were born, grew up to be, in fact, more depressed than other mice. Sort of raises the question, how do you tell if a mouse
is depressed? Yeah, I was going to say, how would we measure that exactly?
And, you know, and when you think about it, it's just pretty depressing being a mouse anyway.
I would think it would have to...
They showed less interest in reading. Things like that.
Sullen.
Well, actually, one of the things is... It indicates mice just have the worst of it too. I mean, it's like all this bad stuff always just happens to them. But the mice who had been given Prozac, they did exhibit signs of depression, and this included, they were more intimidated by new surroundings and moved more slowly to avoid painful shocks compared to mice who weren't.
Well, no wonder they're depressed.
Yeah, people are giving them shocks. But the other mice weren't as depressed about that, or at least...
Or it's just a level of how much depression they happen to have.
Yeah, the other mice at least sort of took effective action to try to avoid getting shot. They would do things, whereas the depressed mice would go, all right, go ahead, shock me. All right, you know, I don't care.
Give me again.
I'm miserable anyway.
Yeah,
if it gives you pleasure, you might as well shock me. So I think that maybe the skill that the depressed mice had, that the researchers were not picking up, was the ability to guilt trip the researchers. You know, they were sort of trying to make the researchers feel guilty about shocking, you know, just by appearing to have given up, you know, not caring. And then another piece of scientific news that they've now discovered that your lungs don't work as well around noon as they do the rest of the day. It's like, that's the worst time for your lungs.
I'm going to really, really, really hate myself for this, but why would that be?
Because it's the circadian rhythm. I mean, every part of your body is obedient to some set of circadian rhythm. And we talked about this yesterday with a sleep researcher.
Yeah.
You know, but every part of your body works better at certain times than others and is governed by certain circadian rhythms. Witness early morning Christian Pronger syndrome, something along those lines. Certain times of day seem to affect certain things, you know, in different ways.
Proud of yourself?
You asked me a question.
Well, I asked you a question. I didn't necessarily give you an answer. Didn't necessarily expect that answer.
Well, that's the answer. The answer is circadian rhythms.
Okay.
The circadian rhythms that govern your lungs cause your lungs to lose power at lunchtime.
Okay.
So you should, if you're planning your breathing for the course of the day, don't plan on doing any really important breathing around lunchtime.
Yeah, so running wouldn't be a good thing to do maybe at that particular time. Exercise might not be a good thing to do at that particular time. Your yoga thing may not be a good thing to be doing.
But see, with yoga, we spend a lot of time just concentrating on our breath. And so those of us who do yoga, we probably aren't even governed by this kind of thing.
Not that you've mentioned yoga on the show before.
No. But I think people may just know in some way that I do it. But anyway, yeah, as you plan your day's breathing out, you should plan on... Well, you might want to actually plan on doing more breathing around lunchtime to get the same effect. I wouldn't add any extra breathing at lunchtime. There's been so more research has done on this study.
Right.
Gotcha. Particularly if you're a depressed mouse, don't even try to read during lunch.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good plan.
Lunchtime best. We'd like to thank our producer, Bobby Sherwood.